I'm an Israeli professor of the Hebrew University. I'm professor of Holocaust studies and contemporary Jewry.
Professor of the subject of the Holocaust is really very vast and complicated. I just wanted to ask you about the attitude of the communities to the Jews during the Holocaust and what happened towards the end of the war. Why the railway lines leading to Auschwitz were not bombed by the Allied forces?
Well, it's two different questions. When you say the attitude of the communities, you mean the non-Jewish people who lived next to the Jews for years together.
I'm talking about the communities in the Ukraine, in Poland.
And some of them, sometimes big numbers of them, cooperated with the Nazis. And they did it in Poland. Generally, the Poles saw the Nazis as their occupiers. And there wasn't much collaboration with the Nazis in Poland, although there were a lot of Polish people that were ready to denounce Jews. Many of them were anti-Semites before the war. However, also those who helped Jews for different reasons, religious reasons, liberal, humane reasons, were some of them were also known anti-Semites before the war. However, they did not think that what the Nazis were doing in the extermination of the war is something that they can cooperate with. In the Ukraine, the situation is different because in the beginning, the Nazis promised the Ukraine to be liberated from the Soviet Union, and the nationalists in the Ukraine really looked forward to the Nazis. However, this promise did not come through. There was a lot of anti-Semitism on one hand, and also a lot of antagonism of Ukrainians who saw the Jews as the ones who gained from the communist regime. The combination of radical Nazi anti-Semitism, traditional religious anti-Semitism, and anti-communism brought together this kind of cooperation against the Jews. But also in the Ukraine, there were many Ukrainians who helped Jews next to the many that did not. So in order to answer why did this happen, why so many non-Jews cooperated with the Nazis, we really have to go into depth to the history of the different countries, not just say generalizations that everybody hated the Jews, everybody was ready to kill the Jews. I don't think that it will lead us to anywhere. Now, the other question concerning the bombing of the railways is again a very difficult question. It was towards the end of the war, the last year of the war, when Hungarian Jews, by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, in the fastest pace that ever happened, in a few months, were deported to Auschwitz. Most of them were murdered in Auschwitz right away upon arrival. The Allies thought that the main goal is to end the war as fast as possible. The numbers of people who were killed in every day of battle was enormous. And they wanted to end the war and to end it with a complete defeat of the Nazis. The decision was that you don't negotiate with the Nazis. You occupy all of Germany by the Allies, Russian and the Western Allies, and that there is nothing that will be left of the Nazi regime in Germany. And this was a lesson from First World War, when Germany ended the war, was defeated, completely defeated, but far away from the borders, you know, from Germany's political borders. And therefore the myth of stabbing the back, or the myth that they really did not lose the war, but somehow they were made to be believed that they lost the war, could emerge. So bombing the railways was possible technically. The aircraft were there. They were able to reach Auschwitz. They did have the plans of Auschwitz and the railroad that was brought to the knowledge of the world by Jewish inmates, actually. Twice it happened. We escaped from Auschwitz. However, this was not part of the main goal of the war. And the idea was that the war will end very soon. It was when the Normandy campaign was a high preparation and was delayed a few times and arose a lot of suspicion by the Soviets. It was when there was an argumentation, should the Allies invade through Normandy or Normandy plus southern Europe, Greece, and the Balkans. So again, we have really to go in depth to understand the development of the war and the political relationship between the Stalin and Soviet Russia and the West, and the distrust that was a dominant factor in this relationship.
Professor Ofer, after the fall of the Soviet Union in the 1990s, a new archives were opened to historians in the former countries of the Soviet Union. What did you find in these archives?
The archives are extremely important. What is important to remember is that the Soviets, when they occupied Eastern Europe, they confiscated all the local archives. So what we have in these archives are the local documentation, which is extremely important in order to understand the life of the Jews, the local documentation of the Nazis who were in these places. So what they give us a regional, complex, nuanced information about the life and about the killing of the Jews. They also reinforce a lot of the finding of research that was made in the past by many historians in relation to the murderers, in relation to the perpetrators, to the German perpetrators. They also give us a lot of information about the collaboration, the question that you asked in the beginning. It will still take years until all the materials will be really unraveled from this archive, because it's kilometers of files that we have there.
Professor Dalia Ofer, thank you very much.